And welcome in here, everybody, to the Central Ice Podcast here, our very, very first interview here. This guest has played 106 total career games, had a .910 save percentage, part of the USA Women's Brandy Olympic team, ECAC Goalie of the Week. She earned a spot on the All-Ivy League team as a freshman in college. At the end of her junior, she was ranked 12th in the nation. She is a Minnesota Whitecap original and an NCAA Division I Player of the Week, as well as the Ivy League Rookie of the Year. Please welcome in Sarah Ahlquist Snyder. How are you doing, Sarah?
Doing well. Thank you so much for having me today.
Let me know if I missed any accolades there. I mean, it's obviously, there's just so little information, unfortunately, but you know more than I do because you played it and you were there.
A long time ago, yeah, for some of that college stuff. So that's a blast from the past right there, but good memories for sure.
Absolutely. I mean, who didn't have a good time in college? I've never really heard of much of those stories unless maybe they were partying a little bit too much or whatever, but
yeah, for sure.
Not too often.
No. I actually went back to Princeton for a fifth year to go work because I wasn't ready to leave. So yeah, it's a great time, definitely.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Ryan Fitzpatrick story in that way. I mean, you went to Ivy League. Wow, that's a hell of an accomplishment.
Thank you.
Not any old Joe off the streets gets into one of those schools. You definitely have to have the brain and the power to do it.
Thank you. Yeah, no, and academics is important, and you know that's something that I work in a school now, and I just try to stress to kids as much as possible, like, your school matters, you know, like that comes first, and hockey or whatever sport it is that they're playing comes second. So, you know, keep up with your schoolwork, and because it really does open doors.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, from what I've also researched here, it looked like, as well, you were kind of pretty sure you were going to go to, I guess it was Providence College there.
Yep, it was Providence. I had a phenomenal recruiting visit there my senior year of high school. And I mean, they wheeled everything out. I don't know that they even would still do something like this. It was another girl and I, she ended up, her name is Melanie Ruzzi. She ended up going there. They picked us up in a limo at the airport, and we went into the team locker room, and they already had Providence jerseys stitched up with our names on it. At the time, the current Olympic goalie was on the roster at Providence, Sarah DaCosta. And, you know, I got to room with her, and just like, you know, phenomenal role model, obviously. She was on the Olympic team. And it was like the best recruiting visit ever. So in my mind, I'm like, I'm going to go to Providence. This is phenomenal. But then, I don't know, it was just one of those weird 11th hour things that happened. And this is going to sound dumb, but I thought of my goalie helmet, and I'm like, you know, it's not going to look that cool if I go to Providence. Like, you know, nothing against the Friars. Friars are awesome. But like, you know, what would really look cool on my helmet would be tigers. So like, tigers have always been my favorite animal. And it's so weird, but it was just one of those epiphanies that happened in the 11th hour. And I'm like, you know, I want to go to Princeton. I want to be a tiger. I want tigers on my goalie helmet. So that is how I ultimately chose Princeton, which is just weird. I'm not good at making decisions, but that one, it worked out pretty well. It's a great place, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, going back to goalie helmets, I mean, so that was like, what, probably around the like mid to late 90s there?
Yep.
When that was happening with you? 99,
senior in high school. So, yep, it was 99.
So yeah, that was like a time going to like comparing to NHL. I mean, that was kind of a time where you were starting to see some of those things happen in hockey, was the graphics on the helmet, the decoratings of the goalie helmets, all that stuff. I mean, I know just for instance, like Ed Belfour, like he had the Eagle, they call him Eddie the Eagle. And that's when he had the Eagle on his goalie mask. And it was becoming a real like cornerstone of goalies just in general around hockey to have their helmets painted. And decorated, and now we see that's just, you know, they get really, really creative with it now.
Well, they're so detailed now. But yeah, it's funny you mentioned Belfour. That was always like the helmet that I just idolized, and that's what I've always modeled all my helmets after. Like in high school, we're the South St. Paul Packers, and our logo was a cow, so I had cows on my helmet instead of eagles. And then Princeton obviously was tigers. When I played for the Whitecaps, their logo was just kind of weird at the time. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to do Tigers again. And now I play.
That's cool.
Yeah. I play for the U.S. women's bandy team. And I actually have a replica of the Belfour helmet. So it's got the Eagles on it. It's really cool.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's funny you mentioned that. I'm like, yeah. Yep.
Well, I mentioned that because, you know, me being from Colorado, I was an Avalanche fan. And, you know, Eddie the Eagle gave us a lot of trouble there in those early 2000s, late 90s playoff rounds and Western Conference semifinals and finals. We kind of went bouts with them and then Detroit as well. Yeah. That was kind of the big two rivalries for the Avalanche at the time.
Oh, big time. Yeah, you guys in Detroit, those were some bloodbaths back in the day. My goodness.
Yeah, I look at things like the other night what happened with Matthew Tkachuk and Muzzner and with the Flames and the Maple Leafs, and I was just like, man, that's nothing compared to, you know, the hit that Claude Lemieux put on Chris Draper and started it all and absolutely ignited a bloodbath.
Yep. It was crazy back in the day.
Now just a quick question, now with your experience and the games you've played in, is it that physical with the ladies side, or is it like a strict no checking rule?
Oh yeah, it's absolutely physical. So I mean, technically we're not allowed to check, but we can have body contact. You can, you know, kind of rub someone off the puck, but it definitely gets very physical. And you know, it kind of depends on the ref that you have for each game, who, you know, some definitely let things go, and I've been involved in games where they've just been all out checking involved because the refs are just letting us play. So yeah, it's super physical and we get amped up just as much as the guys. So, you know, as you can imagine, the tempers and the emotions get heightened, and yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Oh yeah. I mean, hockey's just one of those sports in general where it's super emotional. It's very low tempered, like, or very high tempered. It drives a lot of emotion out of all the players involved. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, absolutely. This is, like you said, strict no checking rule, but that doesn't mean it's physical or that it's any less passionate than the men's game or the men's side. So, so you're an original Minnesota Whitecap.
Yeah.
I see back in, like, I've kind of like went through and kind of did my research on you. Seems like there was a point in time where, like, you're basically playing in front of, like, empty arenas and stuff.
Yeah.
And for quite some time. And, you know, that's a very commendable thing because it's, like, it takes people like you to forward for what we see now for the NWHL. Because without that drive and without that will and wanting to continue, mm-hmm. it never would have gotten to where it is now.
Right.
You know. Obviously, as we see. And so it's very, very commendable that you did something like that. And because you very well could have just said, you know what, screw this, I can just continue my Olympic career and I don't have to do this, you know. But you stuck with it, and that's really, really awesome. You want to talk about those days just a little bit?
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and what it boils down to is, you know, our group, the first Whitecaps team, we were all trailblazers in women's hockey in general. When we were growing up, women's hockey, or girls hockey, I should say, wasn't a thing. You know, a lot of us started out playing a sport called ringette, which is not hockey. It's an ice sport. I'll just kind of leave it at that. But most of us, you know, and myself included, eventually switched over and played boys hockey growing up. You know, because again, there was no girls hockey. So we were trailblazers in that regard. And we weren't doing it to try to, you know, be famous or anything. We loved the game, and that if we wanted to play hockey, it had to be with the boys. So, you know, fast forward to when, you know, we were the original Whitecaps team, it was kind of the same concept. It's like, you know, we weren't trying to be famous or anything like that. We just wanted to keep playing the game we loved. And, you know, this opportunity came about in 2004, and yeah, you know, we knew that maybe it could be the foundation for something that would, you know, grow into something legitimate. You know, we kind of like, you know, people are like, oh yeah, they're a pro women's hockey team, but they don't get paid. You know, it's like, we didn't even really know how to classify ourselves because, you know, for every sense, we kind of were a pro women's hockey team. We were the best of the best coming out of college, pretty much, you know, we weren't a national team.
Right.
We were like, it was just kind of this weird, ambiguous thing. But yeah, it was, you know, it was just a ton of fun. Like, yeah, we might not have had fans in the stands besides like our parents and, you know, boyfriends or girlfriends or whatever it may be. And it didn't really matter because when you got out there, you're not looking in the stands anyways. You're out there, you know, you're focused on your opponent, you're doing the thing you love and you're competing.
Right.
Yeah. And just like the road trips that we would take are some of the best memories of my life. I mean, I met my best friends. Well, I should say, you know, some of my best friends. I also have college best friends, but all my bridesmaids in my wedding pretty much are former Whitecaps teammates. We'll put it that way. And just the road trips that we went on and the memories that were made and just the fun that was had, it was a blast. It was pretty cool. So yeah, we didn't have the notoriety and the fame and the clout. We didn't have the Wild, you know, wishing us good luck on Instagram. Well, Instagram wasn't even a thing.
Right.
You know, but we had each other and we had the sport we loved. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of one of the big things you look at when, you know, players, you know, when you see a certain player, I don't know, they'll take, for instance, like right now, Joe Thornton, mm-hmm. You know, everybody's like, well, why is he still around? It's like, well, it's because of what you described. It's the locker room. It's the camaraderie. It's the road trips. It's the environment. It's not necessarily, you know, the physical aches and pains you go through, you know, through season in and through season out, you know, it's not necessarily that. It's kind of just a love for the camaraderie and the kinship that you go through with your team, your teammates, and those everlasting memories that you'll ever have.
Yeah.
That's kind of, cause you ask any athlete at all, any retired athlete, why they stayed, you know, so far past their prime. It's just like, cause you know, they miss being around the locker room. And that's really any athlete of any sport, of any kind, really.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. You know, and that's why a lot of us, like, we still play like in a league, it's called the Women's Hockey Association of Minnesota. And all of the original Whitecaps for the most part, well, not all of them, but most of us are still in that league. And our team actually has some of the current Whitecaps on it. So it's kind of a cool mix of like, you know, the past and the present, coming together. And yeah, like that's something that I fully intend on doing my whole, you know, as long as I can still move. I, you know, never give that up because of what you mentioned. It's where right. your best friends. So,
now, if you just want to kind of elaborate on the NWHL that you see now and maybe kind of where you see it going in the future. I mean, right now, as it currently stands, I think there's only six teams.
Mm-hmm.
As it stands right now, I believe.
Yep. The Toronto Six just joined the league this year as the sixth franchise.
Right. Absolutely. And then there's the Connecticut Whale, the Minnesota Whitecaps, Boston Pride, Buffalo Buttes, and the Metropolitan Riviettes.
Riveters. Yep.
Riveters. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Yep. So, yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
Was it so when you were part of the Whitecaps, they weren't part of the NWHL at that point, or were they?
Correct. No, we were not part of it. We were part of the league known as the Western Women's Hockey League. We were the only American team, and the rest of the teams were all up in Canada. There was a team in Vancouver, Edmonton, Calgary, Saskatchewan, and then later on there was one based in Manitoba. So, yeah, so we were the lone American team. So all of our road trips were all the way up into Canada. So it was totally different back then. And, you know, I played solidly with the first 2 years of the Whitecaps. And then after that was kind of like a sub player, you know, coming in and out of the roster up until about 2012. And in that time, the league kind of gravitated more towards East Coast teams, if I remember correctly. And my knowledge is a little bit fuzzy on it. But the NWHL didn't start out until 2015. And it was only a four-team league, and Whitecaps were not included. They were still just kind of an independent league playing up in Minnesota. I think a lot of that had to do with financial constraints, travel logistics. Obviously, keeping it on the East Coast, the teams could just bus, which is far less expensive than flying when you're trying to start a new league. So I know the Whitecaps came in, I believe, three seasons ago as the fifth franchise. And it was really cool to see because, you know, it's like, okay, wow, in a small way, I was a part of that back, you know, when it started. So, you know, it's pretty exciting to see that. And it's also pretty cool that they came in as an expansion franchise, but they were so not an expansion franchise. You know, they'd been going for over a decade strong, you know, so they came in and just pretty much dominated right out of the gate. So.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I mean, wow, just that's quite a history there. And man, I mean, that sounds like it's definitely come a long way in such a short amount of time. I mean, I know this kind of also spearheaded around as well when we saw in the 2019 NHL All-Star Game in St. Louis when they featured a women's 3-on-3 along with all the other men 3-on-3 as well. I know that was a really huge spearheading event in getting eyes to turn towards the women's side of hockey as well.
Oh, for sure. The NHL has done a phenomenal job with, you know, including the women in recent years. And a lot of those girls, they're on the national teams, you know, they're on the U.S. and Canadian national teams, you know, and they're, that's, you know, another whole thing going on with women's hockey. There's the Professional Women's Hockey Players Association, which is separate from NWHL. And a lot of the Olympians are, you know, in that other, the other league, for lack of better terms. I don't know that it's necessarily a league as much as it's just a place for them to train and showcase the sport. So there's that too. There's so many things going on with women's hockey right now. It's really exciting. So, and just as a former player, it's kind of funny. I know one of the things you had brought up a couple minutes ago, just kind of where to see where it's gone. I was recently talking to one of my teammates. Her name's Lauren Barnes. She's on the Whitecaps, and she's also on my women's club team that I play on. And I was just talking to her. I'm like, Lauren, I'm like, dude, I'm like jealous of you guys. You know, it's like,
right?
Like back in the day, it's like we didn't even have fans, you know, and we didn't have equipment. We didn't have sponsorships. We didn't have all this, you know, notoriety. I mean, right now the team, they even get like free Dunkin' Donuts. And out of everything, I think I'm the most jealous of that. You know, like, well, I'm gonna Dunkin' and get my free coffee. So, you know, I just, you know, it's all tongue in cheek. Obviously, I'm very happy for those girls and they earned it and they deserve it. But yeah, absolutely. It's really just taken off. And, you know, it's pretty cool to think, you know, she even said, she's like, yeah, she's like, don't worry, Sarah. She's like, 10 years from now, I'm going to be jealous too, because it's going to go with even greater, you know, leaps and bounds. So, and one of those things for sure is going to be pay. I think, you know, that's something that's one of the reasons that the Professional Women's Hockey Players Association exists, is they're, you know, fighting for better pay so that someday girls can play hockey as a full-time job, you know, and not have to juggle a full-time job and be a professional hockey player, because that's tough. that's
absolutely
tough. So,
or just even on like a mental side of just thinking like the Olympics are as high as you can get,
right?
You know, now there's something else to reach for. Yep. There's an actual league, and granted, I mean, it's only on Twitch right now, but man, I believe the playoffs, this was originally stated. I don't know if it's going to stand true, because I guess NBC has liquidated all their television viewing to USA Network. So I'm not entirely sure what's going on with this, but it was announced at the beginning that the playoffs would all be broadcasted on NBC, that they were going to get a primetime spot there. I don't know if that's still standing. It seems a lot of things are looming with that.
Right. Yeah. It's my understanding that the semifinals and the finals will all be on NBC Sports. So it'll be three games total. But I don't know if it's changed since then. Who knows? But that was my understanding as well.
Yeah. Because as we know, in these ever changing times with COVID, I guess, like, you know, it's just because I think a lot of it had to do with, I guess the Olympics are on the verge of being canceled.
Right.
So I think that had a lot to do with it. And then also NBC losing Doc Emmerich this year. Mm-hmm. There's just, I don't know, but for whatever reason, it seems like they're liquidating all of their TV broadcasting to USA Network and other NBC networks as well. I mean, still though, even if they do get it broadcasted just on USA Network or whatever, that's still amazing, a huge platform, especially in a league and it's in, you know, just prime in its infancy, really.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that would be amazing. So, Yeah, you know, and it just goes to show that the trajectory of this, it's moving in the right direction. You know, this is something that's going to keep growing. You know, the interest is there too. There's more and more young girls playing hockey, you know, especially here in Minnesota. It's just, it's ridiculous how many young girls play hockey here, but you're starting to see it in markets that aren't traditional hockey markets too, you know, like even states like Arizona and California and Nevada, now that we've got the Golden Knights out there in the desert. It's just,
right.
It's taking off. So it's, you know, it's young. Yeah. There's only six teams right now, you know, and they're in traditional hockey based markets, but I'm sure it's only a matter of time until we see a team, you know, out in California in the NWHL or whatever league it ends up being.
Possibly up here in Seattle where I'm at. Yeah. I mean, we got the Kraken coming in this October. There's a lot of hype around that, but yeah, absolutely. Like you said, with the hockey, I mean, I watched like the first couple three games that opening weekend. I couldn't tell you how many, you know, happy moms and women there were in those comments on those Twitch chat rooms saying, you know, me and my daughter are watching this before we go to practice. This is really amazing. There's a really good, overwhelmingly amount of support for this league. And it looks like it's building a good core fan base as well. And it, like you said, it's headed in the right direction. And I wouldn't be surprised by the end of either this season or probably next season, you know, if they do create a Hall of Fame for it, if the Hockey Hall of Fame, you know, opens up a women's division and you're right in it along with other players as well. But, you know, it needs to happen. And I believe it's going to happen.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. And it's something that women athletes absolutely deserve. It's funny. You just made me think of the movie, A League of Their Own, when the people go back to the Hall of Fame at the end. So.
Yeah. And I mean, you can also kind of go back to, I guess, Disney, you know, with the Mighty Ducks movies. I mean, had a girl in goaltender, you know, there was ways of spearheading that as well. I'm surprised it didn't catch on as big then, right. You know, it seems like they had the right mindset moving in the right direction there, but ahead of its time for sure.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, I just, this is such a great, great opportunity. For like you said, for all these young women who are in here, in this league now, and it's hopefully we can see further expansion, and hopefully when things get back to normal as well, we can see, you know, fans. Hopefully everybody can just show up and show out their support, and you know, the leader here we have at Baseline Times, his name is Cheval. You know, his wife really brought up a key point when he had her on one of his podcasts. And, you know, she was saying that, you know, I didn't know as much as men do about sports growing up, because there was hardly any women's representation in sports.
Right.
You know, and so now I just kind of think about that, and I think about what's going on now. Mm-hmm. And like now these young girls who are, you know, in Pee Wee hockey and, you know, Little League hockey, they have something to look forward to other than just going to an NHL game.
Right, right. They can see themselves in the face of, you know, the Olympians and the pro women hockey players. That speaks such volumes.
Absolutely. And I have no doubts going forward that the NWHL will make bounds and strides to connect with that core audience and do a lot of the same things that we see the NHL doing with their fans, you know, meet the team night, jersey off their back nights, you know, things like that, things to engage those types of things. And, you know, just leave that imprint in all those young girls' minds. I mean, I currently have a 5-year-old daughter. She was loving it. You know, she always watches NHL with me, but I showed her, I was like, look, these are girls playing. Look at the girls. She's like, I like that. I like that team. You know, so she, you know, just made an impression on her within 5 minutes.
Nice.
You know, I can only imagine the amount of reach it's having with around the rest of the country and where we're going.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. What's your favorite team?
She doesn't really know team names, but she's pointed out towards the Toronto Six. She's like, I like the black and red one. So
yeah, they have sick jerseys. I don't do a really good job up there.
They really do. They really do. Those are like probably, I don't know. I like the Connecticut Whale too, just because it's got such a lineage tie with the Hartford Whalers. You know, kind of just reminds me of that.
Yes.
Those old Hartford Whalers days.
Yeah, for sure.
That a lot of Connecticut fans have been longing for since their departure from the NHL. But
so sad. Sad they left.
Well, Sarah, I want to thank you so much for coming on our podcast and not only being a trailblazer in women's hockey, but also being a trailblazer in this podcast for interviews being our first. It was an absolute honor and treasure to have you here. Anything else you would like to say before, where can we catch you out on the socials and everything else?
Yeah, I've got Instagram. It's just AllQuist30, AHLQUIST30. And I'm on Facebook too. So yeah, come check it out. I'd love to talk hockey with anybody. It's definitely a passion. So, but thank you so much for having me on. And, you know, beyond that, thank you so much for your interest in women's hockey and for being, you know, an advocate of our sport. That's, I just can't thank you enough for that. We're lucky to have people like you out there.
Absolutely. We're going to be waving that flag all season long. We're going to mix it in with our NHL coverage because as far as my view goes, it's an even playing field now.
Yeah.
So not that it's never been that way, but it is now and it's going to be going forward. So we plan on having a lot more NWHL coverage. And as we expand into video as well, I also plan on doing some live streams with games and stuff like that. So hopefully we can bring a lot of other people along for that ride as well.
Awesome. Looking forward to that. It's going to be great.
All righty. Thank you very much, Sarah, for your time.
Thank you.